This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayikra, and the title of the shiur I'm giving tonight is Moshe the Angel. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the Parsha, which is source number one, and it's the first pasuk. It says, Vayikra Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elav, Me'ol Moed Lemor. It says that Hashem called out to Moshe, and he spoke to him, saying, so Rashi over there points out that every time Hashem speaks to Moshe, he precedes the speech with a kriya, with calling to him. And Rashi says it's Lashon Chiba, it's a sign of affection that Hashem is demonstrating, and he compares it to the Malachim, and how it says in Yeshaya, the Karazel Elzevi Amar, is how the Malachim treat each other and how they call out to each other. But to the other Nevi'im, the Nevi'ei Olam, which is like Bilam, for example, it says Vayikar, it's not Vayikra, Vayikar. Vayikar is like Lashon Keri, like the Sifsei Chachamim says, and it's very sudden and almost accidental. It's temporary. So the questions that we had on this Rashi were, first of all, why does Hashem precede every Amira and Dibor and Sivoy with a Kriya? And how does that demonstrate Hashem's affection for Moshe? And last, what is the real difference between the way Hashem speaks to Moshe and the way Hashem speaks to Bilam? And somebody in the Shir also asked a good question. Why is it Bilam? What about all the other Nevi'im? So great question. And if you look in source number 6 on the source sheets, if you have the source sheets, I'm kind of giving a brief overview of the shir. If you look in source number 6, the pasuk says, "V'kar zeh el zeh v'amar, kadosh kadosh kadosh, Hashem tzvakos, melech ha'aretz kevodo." We see that the malachim, they call out to each other, and then they say, "Kadosh kadosh kadosh, Hashem tzvakos, melech ha'aretz kevodo." And Rashi over there says that there are being notlin reshus zeh mizeh, shliyakdim ha'echad, v'yaschil v'yischayv sreifa, elim kein pasul kulam ke'echad. So Rashi over there says that the idea of Ikar Zel Zeve Amar is that the Malachim are asking for permission, that they should all say Kadosh 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 together, so they don't want one Malach saying it out of order by himself. So the idea of Ikar Zel Zeve Amar is Milton Rishos. They're asking for permission to speak so that everyone speaks at the same time. So what do we see from this Rashi? One possibility is that we can use this Rashi to reflect on the first Rashi in the Parsha, which is that the chiba, the affection that Hashem is demonstrating to Moshe, is almost asking him for permission. It's as if Hashem is asking him for permission to speak with him. He's not just speaking with him as if, just because I can, I am, but he's showing Moshe kavod, respect, by saying, can I speak with you? Whereas by the Umos Olam, by Bilam, it's the opposite. Hashem just appears. He doesn't have to ask for permission. There's no kavod granted to Bilam. It's simply just nevuah without the aspect of kavod. So one possibility for Rashi is based on the Rashi in Yeshaya, and that is that Moshe was afforded this respect by Hashem, and that it's as if he's asking for permission to speak to him, just like the Malachim ask for permission amongst themselves, as opposed to Bilam. The second idea was based on the Torah Tamima, where he quotes Yuma, and the Torah Tamima says that we can learn from this that a person is never supposed to speak to their friend unless they call out to their friend. The Torah Tamima explains that there's several Gemaras that show that whenever Hashem speaks to people, it says by Adam, for example, that Hashem spoke to Adam, but first he called out to him before he said, Ayeka, it says, Vayikra Hashem el Adam. And also, there's a Gemara that says that you're not supposed to barge into somebody else's house, but rather, you should call first, you should speak first before you walk in. And that's what the Torah Tamima says. So according to this, there's possibly a different approach to Rashi. And the other approach I was thinking of was that Rashi's highlighting that the chiba is that Moshe was afforded an opportunity to prepare himself. Because the Torah Tamima starts with, V'tama davar k'deshi yachin atzmo ha-shomei lishmo. The reason why you call out somebody before you speak is that the person that you're speaking to can prepare themselves. So Moshe was given the great opportunity of focusing his energy and his mind on the actual nevuah, and in that way he would be able to gain the greatest knowledge of Hashem, as opposed to Bilam, who's the opposite extreme, where Hashem just appeared. Bilam might not have been focused on the conversation, and Bilam was simply a conduit for the information. Moshe was given the nevuah for himself, not just as a conduit for the information, but he was given the nevuah for his own insight, for his own philosophical development. And therefore, the idea of Vayikra is to give him an opportunity to prepare himself in order to put himself in the proper state of mind and focus his his energy and his mindset to this Nevuah, to this upcoming Nevuah, as opposed to Bilaam, where it's the opposite. Bilaam was not afforded this, and that's the difference. That's a fundamental difference. Now, why is it Bilaam as opposed to and Moshe? It's because these are the extremes. But of course, the Nevi'im, other Nevi'im, were somewhere in between Moshe and Bilaam in terms of how Hashem afforded them the opportunity to prepare themselves for the Nevuah. So the next thing that we did was we segued into Nida, Tassayin Amabiz, which is source number 10. And Nida says that there are four categories, three of which Hashem hates and one of which Hashem does not like. And it's based on a pasuk in Mishlei. And they are, the first case is either a Talmid Chacham who regularly goes to the bar or a Talmid Chacham who chats too much in the Beis HaMishtaos. The second case is a person who stands on a high tower and looks down on everybody else. A man who's holding himself while he goes to urinates. And the last case, which is the case that Hashem does not love, is where you go into your friend's house just suddenly. You just barge into your friend's house. And Rav Yochanan adds to this, even your own house. So you're not supposed to barge into somebody else's house and even your own house. And Rav Shimon ben Yochai has a similar statement where he says that there are four things that Hashem hates. And one is if you go into your own house suddenly. And Ein Tzarech Lomar, and of course, if you go into your friend's house and you barge in, if you're grabbing yourself while you urinate, if you urinate naked by your bed, and if you fornicate in front of other animals, other things, other beings. So Shmuel says, what about in front of animals like mice? So he says, no, of course not. Of course you're allowed to. He's talking about a case where people think that it's okay to have bia, to have relations in front of their servants, and they try to learn it out from Avraham, because it says, Shvulachem po'im ha-chamor, am ha-dom el-chamor. But of course, the idea is no, it's Hashem hates that situation. So the question is, what's the connection, and what's the underlying flaw of the individual who barges in on his own house and other people's houses? So the second idea in the shir, the second main idea, after we took up the idea of a yikra proceeding by Daver, is that really the flaw seems to be that a person who does that, who barges into somebody's house or his own house, it's almost like they want to see something. It's a sign, it's a reflection of an underlying attitude, an underlying flaw, which is the desire to see that which you're not privy to. And when a person does that regularly, if they barge into their own house, it's a reflection of their own desire to see something happen, to gain insight, to gain some private knowledge, some private information that perhaps you shouldn't have. And that's the idea of, that's the flaw here, that a person should not do that. And all these cases are cases where a person can just say, oh, it's a mistake or it was an accident, but they're really just setting themselves up for something other than what they think that they're doing. For example, if a person's urinating, a man is urinating, he could say, oh, I'm just urinating when he's grabbing himself, but the Gemara would say that that's really an idea of here that you're going to lead yourself to hero, to fantasy. So a person has to be aware of his unconscious motivations and not just dismiss actions which he thinks are harmless, like walking into somebody's house or your own house or even standing up high. When you do that, you're basically demonstrating a desire to see into things, to see what other people are doing. And that's the flaw here, an underlying inability to be aware of your drives, your unconscious drives, and being able to cover it up as this was just an accident. So that's what Hashem hates, because these are flaws that are very difficult to deal with and to do tshuva on. But first you have to be aware of your drives, of why you're doing things. And finally, the last idea in the shir was the comparison of Moshe to Malachim. And there's two midrashim. One says that Moshe was greater than Malachim, because Malachim were not panim el panim. They didn't even know Hashem's place, and Moshe was able to speak to Hashem panim el panim. Also, the Malachim had to cover their faces with their wings, and they couldn't look at Hashem, but Moshe was able to. And then last, the Shechina called out to Moshe, because it says, Vayikra Moshe, like in our Parsha. So what is this comparison and this idea that Moshe is greater than Malachim? How could he be greater when Malachim are non-physical? And certainly they can grasp greater abstract concepts, greater abstract ideas about Hashem. So how is Moshe greater? And then the next medrash in source number 14, if you have the source sheets, is basically that, again, Moshe was able to withstand the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai, whereas the Jews weren't. And because of that, the kol that was spoke to Moshe only came to Moshe, because he was the only tzaddik who could withstand the tremendous voice that Hashem created. So in what sense is Moshe greater than Malachim? And why is he compared? So the last idea, the last concept that I expressed in the shir was that Moshe is really on a higher level because of his role vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. Because Moshe was the leader of Klal Yisrael, he was afforded opportunities to gain insight, whereas others, like the Malachim, they didn't have that role, so they weren't afforded the opportunity. For example, after the Cheta Egel, Moshe davened to Hashem, and Hashem revealed his Midas Arachamim of Hashem Hashem, the Yud Gimel Midos. Also, after that experience, Moshe was able to see Hashem when Hashem passed by him, not obviously not physically, but gain the greatest amount of knowledge of Hashem. So Malachim are able to grasp ideas in a more abstract way, but Moshe was given greater opportunities. And because of those opportunities that were seized by Moshe, he was able ultimately to gain knowledge that even the Malachim weren't privy to, did not have. So that's the last idea, that Moshe is really greater than the Malachim in the sense that he was given opportunities because of his role vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael to really know Hashem's ways, and he seized that opportunity. And that's what it means by Yikra Elav, that Hashem almost wanted Moshe, and he needed Moshe. Not obviously Hashem could exist without Moshe, but he called Moshe to give this knowledge to Klal Yisrael. Moshe's role afforded him this great connection with Hashem that the Malachim didn't have, because they did not have the same role that Moshe had vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. So that is really the whole shir summed up in about 11 minutes. So thank you and have a good Shabbos.